This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Philly's Backstage. Tom Burgoyne joined by John Brazier. And John, we're living large today. We are recording Friday before the Mets game in the executive box. Ooh.
Yes, I'm feeling very executive-ish right now and very excited because, A, we have a crucial series against the Mets, right? We need to get a little redemption. And we'll hear about that redemption because we've got Cody Clemens right here in the booth overlooking the field right now. We are about, 5 hours for the game. How you doing, Cody?
Yeah, doing great. This is an awesome view up here.
It is. Well, all this could be yours. You're gonna be the owner of this team.
All this could be yours.
Oh, you know what I always think of? The Sixers. Pat Croce. You ever hear his name before, Cody? Pat Croce was the Sixers trainer back in the 70s, early 80s. He wound up owning the team.
Holy cow.
Yeah. He went from being the trainer to owning the team.
Look at that. That's
so
wild.
It can happen.
Yeah, and he's the one you might not. I don't know how long ago. I don't know how old you were at this point. But remember when Allen Iverson, when they got the number one pick in the draft.
Yeah.
Right. Pat Croce was the one with the rabbit foot down there during the draft, and they got the, or I guess the lottery, and they got the first pick. Remember, and then he went nuts.
Thanks for joining us. I know you're getting ready for the game tonight. Want to start out with your play yesterday. If you weren't watching it, it was the afternoon game, last game against the Braves, second inning, and it's funny. Kruk and T-Mac thought it was like the greatest play they've ever seen. I think they even said that on the air. Explain what happened yesterday.
Yeah, so I was on first. I was holding the runner on, and Rosario hit one pretty dang high in the air. And originally, I mean, as soon as off the bat, I went back, and so did Stott. We both thought it was going to be kind of behind us, and then it got above the stadium. And there was a pretty solid wind yesterday. And once it got up in the air, I stopped for a second. And I go, oh my gosh, it's staying there, and it's going back in. And so, obviously, you saw my crazy route there. And then, if you watch the video, it's kind of wild. Right before I kind of dive and make the catch, I stutter step because Rosario was, like, coming through the line. And he started yelling at me. He started saying something or, like... Something.
Was he trying to distract you?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it was.
But, get out of my way.
But it made me stutter step. You can see it in the video. And then, yeah, I mean, thank God I caught the ball because I was a... Obviously, I wish it didn't look like that. I wish it looked a lot easier, you know, camped under the fly ball. But
it looked cool the way.
So when when a play like that happens, that's more of like an out of the ordinary where it's all over social media. Like, do you get people sending you that? Like, oh my God, Cody, what a catch!
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because everyone saw it as like an awesome catch, but all of us and my teammates and I are like, geez, that was a circus. You know, at least I made it look like that because it was such a tough. I mean, it was a tough fly ball. Don't get me wrong, but like. You know, I should have judged it correctly and, you know, just stayed there and knew that the wind was going to hold it towards, you know, the pitcher's mound.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny. I said Kruk called it one of the best plays he's ever seen. He's a first baseman. And they kept showing during the broadcast the wind patterns. Like, they were showing a graphic of the way the winds were turning. So it was a great play, and it looked good, too.
It was weird because the flags, I think, were blowing – really hard to left field, but then above the stadium, it was like blowing inward. It was weird, but as soon as, I mean, it was a high fly ball. That's why it kind of stayed, you know, towards the pitcher's mound. But I mean, thank God I caught it. That would have not been good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's work back, you know, childhood, obviously, You grew up in, you probably grew up in a major league clubhouse, obviously, with your dad, right? Did you spend a lot of time on in the baseball field, in baseball parks?
Yeah,
because I know, like for us, I know like the Boones, and we had Gary Varsho's kids and the Amaros, right?
I mean, yeah, I was, you know, around ballparks my whole life. I didn't really get to experience Boston. I wasn't born yet, and then I barely remember Toronto in the late 90s, and then New York was kind of most of my memories, being around the clubhouse and, you know, being with the players and meeting those, you know, legends of the game. And then when my dad came home and played for Houston, that's when I started to realize like who he was and why all these people were in the stands and like stuff like that, because I just saw him as, you know, all right, he's doing this, he plays baseball. I don't know, you know, I was super young, 5-6 years old. And then later when he was with Houston, I was about 10. So I started realizing who he was and how good he was.
Yeah,
and
that's
stuff.
That's what I think too, Cody. I noticed that too. It's like, 10 years old, that's when it's probably clicking in. I mean,
yeah.
John, I mean, we were like when the Phillies won the, you know, well, we were like 15, I guess, when but still, we were prime fandom at 10 years old. So then I guess to realize, dad's, you know, he pitches for a living.
my brother's, Casey, the one above me, and both of us really thought growing up, we were like, all right, well, we're either a fan or a player. And that was it in life for us. We were like, oh my gosh, was all right, fan or player. We wanted to be the player, you know.
I was going to say, and does that put pressure? I mean, not only is your dad a major league pitcher, right? But your dad's one of the greatest pitchers of all time. So did that put pressure on? Did you feel pressure at all when you were a kid? Or were you more just like, it doesn't matter?
Yeah. I mean, growing up, there was always like a target on my back,
right,
along with my older brothers. But it was no pressure because luckily, thank God, I'm not a pitcher. So
right.
I didn't get
Were you ever a pitcher?
Yeah.
I know, because I know you pitched a little bit in college, right?
No, in high school I pitched. I was a shortstop, and then I would come in and close the game, and I threw, you know, 88, 90 miles an hour, just flat fastball.
Right.
And that worked in high school. But I was a better hitter and, you know, got recruited to go play for Texas as a hitter. So,
but you did get it, didn't you? Get into it? I thought I saw some stats where you got into a game or two. No,
well, my older brother was a two-way in college, so it might have been him. Casey,
gotcha.
Yeah, Casey was a pitcher and a hitter, and so he played first base and he pitched. So it was pretty cool. He pitched on the weekends, you know, like Saturday or whatever, and then he would also hit. So it was pretty cool.
Now, was he better known as a hitter though?
Yeah, he ended up getting drafted as a hitter to the Blue Jays. And so he hit, and then he played a few years, three, four years in the system, and then played a couple years at indie ball. And then this is actually his first summer of no baseball. So he's kind of trying to figure out what he wants to do. It's pretty cool, but he's got a finance degree from Texas, so he should be fine.
Yeah. And was it kind of preordained that you were going to go to Texas? Were you scouted by other teams, Cody?
It was weird. Like, I didn't really get scouted by a lot of teams. But, like, I was dead red on Texas. I wanted to go play with my brother.
Nice.
You know, my dad went to Texas. I've always been a Longhorn my whole life. So I was immediately, like, if they ever, you know, want me to come there, I'm in. So it was, like, the first or second team that came to me, and I was like, all right, I'm in. So there was no, like, other teams around at all, to be honest.
I hope you don't mind, but I'm not going to have my youngest son listen to this podcast because he goes to the University of Oklahoma.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
And I know that rivalry. Would you go to the football games? And Have you ever go to an Oklahoma, Texas football game?
I've been to a few of them, the Red River rivalry.
Yeah.
It's fun out there at the Cotton Bowl. Yeah, that's a good time. The stadium's, you know, split right down the middle with the Sooner fans and then the Longhorns, and it's pretty electric. The stadium is going crazy the whole freaking time, and it's fun. You got the fair and all that stuff outside of the stadium, too. So,
okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's a good time.
And I told you off the air that I was single a long time ago, and I got invited by a buddy of mine to come out to the Rose Bowl to see Texas play USC. So I knew, you know, Reggie Bush for USC and Vince Young for Texas. I knew it was going to be a good game. Love college football. So I went out there, little did I know I was going to witness literally the greatest college football game in history. I mean, it came down to the very end. I'm in the end zone when Vince Young scored the winning touchdown. And then I find out in our interview last year with Garrett Stubbs that he was there at the game.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that game is unbelievable. Vince Young was so good. And I remember watching that game. I was at home. My dad was actually at the game also. Mm. He was there with my oldest brother, and they got to witness the greatest game ever.
Well, now you're going to have Arch Manning as the quarterback, right?
Yeah, him and Quinn are going to go at it. I don't know what they're going to do. I think they're going to play Quinn. You know, he was pretty solid last season until the injury. Obviously, that Alabama game was awesome to watch until he got smacked there. But I don't know. I think that they should give Ewers the spot as of now just because he can sling it. But obviously, it's great to have Arch there. That's super cool to have him there. And, you know, he's also really good. So the quarterback room is pretty elite.
Hey, Cody, when you were at Texas, you had Tommy John surgery before your junior year. And it's amazing. You came back like Superman
surgery. He played as a DH after you'd gone through that surgery, right?
Yeah, it's funny. It's almost like I had the surgery done in August, I think, in the off season or in the fall, I guess you would call it, in college. And then I didn't do anything until like the start of the season, and I could start swinging. I started swinging after like four months post surgery. And so I stayed the course and kept doing my throwing program and stuff like that throughout the year, but I just DH'd the entire time.
Huh. And I mean, going into that process, having the surgery done, the rehab, had you talked to anybody else had gone through it? Did you kind of were you kind of prepared for it?
Not really. I wasn't really prepared. I mean, they have a great training staff at Texas. Mm-hmm. There was a few other baseball players there that had the surgery, you know, before me, and I talked to them and, you know, got some pointers there. You know, you just get to stay the course. You're just going to do it. You just got to do the rehab, and it just takes time. And then there was also some players that had it done with me, like, few days before me. So we were all doing the same you know, rehab process in the training room every day, and we all had the same program and stuff like that. So it was good
having
a few guys doing it with me. But the worst part was in the fall, and you're just sitting in the stands or in the dugout watching them play all their scrimmages and games and practicing, and you just got to sit out. It's the worst feeling ever.
So did you talk to Bryce, like, in spring training and early in the season, right?
This year?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I told him just, like, I mean, he knows what he's doing, and we also have a great training staff. But I just told him, I was like, it was nice because it was obviously it's his right elbow and my right elbow. So swinging was fine because it's not your back elbow, which kind of extends that part of the elbow whenever you swing. So that's why it's so fast. You can come back as a position player hitting. Right. But obviously throwing, you can't. You got to just trust the process and do, you know, it takes time with that. But he obviously recovered really fast.
Yeah, and then you got drafted by the Tigers. Mm-hmm. I noticed you played a little bit in Lakeland. Can you compare Lakeland and Clearwater? I mean, they're two of the classic, you know, spring training sites, you know, baseball.
Yeah, I don't mean to dog Lakeland at all, but the weather over there is so humid and hot, and coming to Clearwater this, you know, this past spring was unbelievably better. The weather's way better. It's a little cooler.
That's funny because it's not that much far away, right?
It's just because it's next to the water.
Yeah.
And Lakeland's directly in the middle of the state.
And isn't there an alligator, like, in a pond that's, like, right near the clubhouse?
Yeah. So
is that true?
There is. There's, like, a couple lakes, obviously, in Lakeland. There's a bunch of lakes around. But there's, like, a little bit of, like, a stream or something that comes by one of the backfields. And you'll see a couple little alligators in there, you know, 2-3 feet long.
Yeah,
someone told me that. And I was, you know, when I was going in the locker room a lot, I was like, oh, man, looking around.
I don't think we've seen any big ones over there, but I have personally seen a couple small ones that are, you know, 3 feet long.
All right, so I always, you know, been with the Phillies a long time, been down to spring training a long time, and I always tell people that if, and I could be wrong, but I said if I were a player and I was going to pick a team based on where they train, spring training, I would pick the Phillies because Clearwater, I can't imagine a place that's better than Clearwater because you have one of the greatest beaches.
Yes.
You got great restaurants, right? You're near Tampa if you want to go into nightlife. There's concerts and everything. You know, nothing against Lakeland, but it's inland a little bit. Then you talk about Port Charlotte. There's nothing really going on there. And, you know, I guess Bradenton would be fine.
Clearwater's number one.
right?
Yeah, clear. I feel like Clearwater's got to be the top spot. And it's really nice with travel, too, because Lakeland was, like you said, inland. And then you would have to travel out of there, and, you know, you've got 45 minutes to Tampa, you know, hour and a half to Sarasota or, you know, whatever. But Clearwater is right there, and, you know, you've got Dunedin right next to you, Tampa.
Yeah.
Sarasota's not far. You know, Bradenton, all that stuff. It's not, the travel for spring training is way better.
Yeah, it's very central. I noticed too, when you're with Detroit, you got called up the end of May of 2022, but then 2 weeks later, I guess they did have you, and I know everybody asked you about your pitching, but, you know, it was like 2 weeks after you got called up, you were, I guess, used as a spot, you know, guy just to get a couple outs. And then later in the year, you wound up facing Ohtani.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously my dream was to play professional baseball, right? And I never thought that I would actually pitch in a big league game, which is crazy because, I don't know, I have maybe 9 innings pitched in a big league game now.
But as you said, like it's that. Still a fastball that's straight. You have
nothing else? When I get on the mound, you know, late innings, we're obviously losing by a ton. It's just, hey, throw it and try and get – make them hit it into an out.
You're just throwing that. You're not throwing a changeup, sinker, or anything.
No, I throw, you know, I just lob in like a 50 mile an hour or whatever, and then I do mess. Since I've pitched so many times, it feels like I've messed around with like an air cutter. Just, I mean, when we warm up and stuff, some of us mess around, you know, throwing pitches and stuff, and I have this air cutter. It's pretty good, actually.
It's like a wiffle ball.
Yeah, exactly. Huh. And but yeah, like you said, we were losing to the Angels by a lot, and I think I don't know if I was playing that game, but it was like the eighth inning or whatever, and I look at Tucker Barnhart and I was like, hey, like, do you think I'm gonna pitch in this game? He was like, I don't know, like, maybe, maybe not. And I was like, well, if I do, the next inning is like Renjifo, Trout, Ohtani. And I was like, that would be crazy, you know, whatever. And then what do you know, I'm end up pitching, and Renjifo hits, and then or I think it was like Renjifo, Trout, but then or maybe Ohtani was second. I get Renjifo out, and then Ohtani comes up, and Eric Haas was catching that night. And so Tucker and I always mess around with that cutter, but I got through, you know, lobbed it in there, strike one, he fouls it off, lob another one off, he fouls it down the line. And then I look over at Tucker in the dugout, and I'm, like, kind of smirking, and he was, like, going like this, putting his hand forward, you know, like, throw it hard, okay. Like, try and sneak one by, because I was throwing, you know, 48 miles an hour.
Right.
And I just threw a pitch decently hard. It was, like, 68 or 70 miles an hour, and he just took it, strike three, and I was, like,
is awesome.
It, like, surprised me so much. You can see me in the video if you watch it, it's like I get pumped up. I was like, no way, I just got a strikeout. You know, I never thought I would get a strikeout. Nevertheless, it'd be Ohtani, you know. So,
but would that be a top three? I know you've had a walk-off hit, you've had a bunch of home runs. Would that be kind of a top, like, it, just in that circumstance, is that kind of a top three, like, professional moment right there? I mean, that's pretty cool,
yeah,
right there. I mean, that didn't matter really.
Yeah, but. Yeah. I think it's, I mean, it's got to be top five. I mean, just the weird scenario, like, right. I never thought I would be pitching one, and then two, I'd never thought I'd strike someone out, and three, it'd be Ohtani, right? Like,
I mean, this is something you're going to tell your grandkids, no matter how your career shapes out, right?
And he was awesome about it. He, I got the ball, and I gave it to one of the clubbies in LA and told him, or in Anaheim, and told him to, can you send it over to him to sign it? Like, and, you know, I think it'd be cool.
Which, hey, that's kind of cold, you know. Can you sign the ball you struck out on? But go ahead.
I personally hate hitting opposition players because I think we did it in Arizona the other week. I faced, I think it might have been Rojas or something, but he, like, came in and he threw, first pitch was, like, 75, and then the next pitch was 40.
Right.
You know, so it's, like, that's a 35-mile-an-hour difference. Like, it's almost, it's all hitting is timing. So, and pitching is, you need to disrupt their timing, right? So, it's easier said than done to go up there and hit a position player. Like, I personally hate it because I just have to stand there and you swing like
right.
It's,
you know, well, there's no book on,
like,
the guy
it's
either.
It's like beer league softball. You
right.
Know? Like, you're just waiting on it and, you know, it's weird. It's all weird with your timing because you're, you know, all you're practicing your whole life for professional baseball is to hit 95, you know, so, like, it's weird. I personally don't like it. I know guys that walk up and say, oh, this is an easy hit, and they can just slap it over there.
Well, there's a pressure there, too, because you figure, if you don't get a hit, it's like, oh, you know.
Yeah. So I just, yeah.
Right. I always say, like, when, you know, sometimes down in spring training, you'll bat against somebody like in a rehab game against minor leaguers, right? So Chase Utley will be on a rehab assignment and he's going to play in a minor league game. Well, everyone's expectations, oh my God, Chase Utley's going to, you know, crush these guys. They're minor leaguers.
Five for five.
But what they don't realize is that Chase doesn't know who this guy is, and that pitcher is probably in the minor leagues because he still hasn't harnessed his control. So, and Chase knows that, so he's probably not exactly comfortable in the boxes, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's a bunch to it. Like, my dad always said whenever he had those rehab assignments, he would get absolutely rocked. Like, he could never get any of them out. But then when he'd come up here, he'd be, you know, more locked in or whatever it was. Right. But, yeah, I mean, we go into plate appearances and we have all the information on the pitcher we're facing. So, yeah, I mean, the position player stuff is weird. I think that they should just end the game. Like, if you're just giving up, you know, put your position guy in, they should just say, all right, we're done. Because the whole point is to save a bullpen arm.
Right, yeah. Right,
so. Yep. It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits. Make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro recharge kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
All right, so you get traded over in the offseason in January to the Phillies. What did you know about Philadelphia? Obviously, you must have watched the World Series run last year. What was going through your head when you found out you were getting traded along with Soto over here?
It was out of nowhere. I had a great relationship with the whole Tigers organization. I loved the staff. I loved, you know, the GM. I loved everybody that was involved in the org. And we had a great relationship. And so out of nowhere, you know, it was some random Saturday. And I checked my phone and my agent calls. And he's like, hey, you're getting traded right now. And I was like, what? I was like, all right, where? And he goes, you're going to Philly. And I was like, okay. And so I didn't know what to think of it at all. I was like, all right, Philly, they were just in the World Series. Holy crap. All right. Really good team. That's awesome. And then I was like, okay, how am I going to fit in this with this team? Like, just thinking about all the stuff, like, going on and then getting calls, you know, immediately from other people, you know, the Tigers people, AJ Hinch calling me, telling me what's going on, you know, stuff like that. That was pretty wild.
And did you know anything about the city? Had you been to the city before? Sure.
I've been here one time. We had a field trip like when I was in grade school or something. They took us, or it was, I think it was like eighth grade. I came out
Liberty here. Bell and Independence
yeah,
Hall.
Yeah, all that, yeah, yeah. Did all that. Went on the Rocky Steps, all that stuff. Got a Philly cheesesteak, like did all the, you know, tourist stuff. But yeah, that's about it. I know when I talked to my dad, he was like, it's a great, you know, the fan base is unbelievable. It's like, you know, the stadium's beautiful. He was telling me he pitched here. I think he had like a one-run game when he was pitching with the Astros here, something like that. And he was like, this is going to be great. This is going to be good for you. I was like, all right.
Yeah, and, you know, somebody must have liked you too, Cody, because, you know, we had some players who we really liked who were a big part of our club last year. So that has to make you feel good that, hey, they really targeted me to come to a winning team too.
Yeah, it was – so the story behind it is kind of wild because – so the season ended in Detroit, and AJ Hinch, he lives in the Woodlands, Texas, where I live in Tomball right there in the same area. He's probably 10 minutes away from me, and I know he loves to play golf. He's a member at Blue Jack National right there. And when we kind of had our, like, exit meeting for the season or whatever, I was like, hey, when we go back to Houston, like, let's play golf in the off season. Like, I know we can play. We'll get out. He's like, absolutely, that'd be great. Let's do it. And so we ended up, like, I would say a week before the trade, I called him and I was like, hey, we're about to go to spring. Like, let's get around him before we go. And he was like, awesome, let's do it. You want to play Blue Jack? I was like, yes, let's do it. And we set it up. It was going to be like me and my dad and then one of AJ's friends. And had it set up for like 10 o'clock tee time on a Wednesday, right? And then, so, you know, that's in 5 days. And Saturday comes and I get traded. And I immediately, after all this happens, I text him and I go, well, see you Wednesday. I go, well, see you Wednesday. And then he said, like, stuff happens so fast in this business. I'll call you later today. I was like, all right. And so we ended up not playing. He had a couple meetings come up on that Wednesday or whatever. But that was a funny story. And then when he ended up calling me that night, the one thing I wanted to know about the trade was, I was like, were y'all wanting to get me out, or were the Phillies asking for me? Because I wanted to know that. And he said, no, the Phillies were asking for you. And I was like, all right, well, that was good. That makes me feel a lot better.
Now, have you, there's obviously great golf courses in this area. Have you played Marion? Have you played Aronimink? Have you played Pine Valley?
So I haven't played Pine Valley. I want to play it so bad. I played Marion with my brother like a couple weeks ago. It was unbelievable. Nice.
Yeah.
It was extremely hard.
Yes.
Yeah, oh my gosh. The course is beautiful. The layout's crazy awesome. Like, we had such a good time. We got linked up with a couple of members out there to get us out there. So it was it was great. It was good. So awesome. Hard though.
I'm taking Mickey Morandini, not taking, I'm going with Mickey Morandini and Tommy Green. We're playing Oakmont at the end of July. Nice. And I better get my game in order.
You've been golfing a lot, so you got to be shaving some strokes off. No,
I'm a hockey player playing golf. I basically just bomb it. But
and you're saying Marion was tough. Is it certainly in around here? You know, they're very hilly. Some of the old classic Philly courses, but that one's not real long, right? Is it a little narrow?
There's a lot of room for error. Rough.
The rough was super thick. Of course, like during baseball season, my golf swing is not good. I get out there and I normally have like a little baby fade off the tee box. And then out of nowhere, I'm up there hitting little draws or big draws. I'm like, what is going on? I normally get my swing locked in throughout the off season.
And that first tee is intimidating at Marion because it's right in front of the porch where everyone eats.
Yeah.
So you're right. They're all looking at you right there.
We were, my brother and I were like, all right, well, we're going to play the tips. We didn't come here. We got to see the whole course. And so that made it even harder. But it's just, the course was awesome. It was, in really good condition. But everything was hard. The greens were super fast. Rough was thick. Have some good approach shots to score.
And plus, when I play a really good course, and I haven't really played that many, but you think about the history, right? Like I played
around here. There's some classics.
Right. Yeah. But also I played Wingfoot not too long ago, and I was thinking of Phil Mickelson, who basically, I think he shot a six when he needed a
on 18.
Right. Yeah. And so I said, all I need to do is get a six or better, and I can say I'm better than Phil.
Okay, John.
Yeah. That's my rationale, goodness. Right? So you get to the Phillies. And right away with the clubhouse, you get to, I guess it's spring training really when you report down there. Yeah. Did you know guys ahead of time?
I have mutual friends. One of my buddies' name is Nolan Kingham. We went to college together and he's from Vegas and he's friends with Bryson. And so Bryson reached out to me as soon as the trade happened, texted me, let's go, dude. That's so pumped, whatever. And so I texted him and I knew him through my mutual friend. And that's about it. I didn't know anybody else. When I showed up, I saw Bryson and then got to meet everybody, a lot of new faces, stuff like that. But it's been great.
Yeah, it's a great clubhouse.
And it must feel great. You had a game-winning hit, to beat the Tigers.
When his dad was on the broadcast earlier that game.
That's right. Your dad was in the house. He was sitting right over there, actually, in one of the suites right down the line. And, how'd that feel? It must have felt great.
It felt great. Obviously, to do it against the Tigers makes it awesome.
Right.
Not that I have anything bad against them, but it was weird how that just lined up for me to be able to.
Did you get some texts from your old teammates?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Zach Short, one of my good buddies, he texted me. He was like, really?
But are you thinking about that when you come up to the bat? Obviously, you're in a situation where you get a hit. Game's over, you get a game-winning hit, and it's off your former team. Like, is that even entering your mind, or are you just basically locked in saying, boom, I'm doing my job, and then I'll worry about the other stuff later?
Yeah, that inning, I think I was up, maybe fifth or sixth or something like that, and I knew as soon as they started having some good at-bats, the first couple at-bats, I was like, all right, I'm getting up. There's no way I'm not getting up here in a good spot. And so I kind of just prepared for that, and then when I was on deck and I was coming up, I was like, all right, it's a normal at-bat. Treat it like a normal bat. Have a good at-bat here and just do what you've been doing. And then I got a nice heater.
You smoked it.
Yeah, and it was awesome. It was great.
Well, Johnny, I see you over there with...
Well, before we get to the quiz, I got to ask him about the...
go ahead.
Two other quick things. The other day, Thursday, we faced the Braves, and you faced one of your college teammates. He actually had a good game against us. Elder went 7 innings pitch, right?
Yeah.
Did you know? I mean, obviously you played with him.
I hate that guy, by the way.
He was a, I guess he was a freshman.
I hate when he does that.
He was a freshman when you were a senior?
No, he was a year younger.
Year younger, okay.
So we were on the same team for 2 years.
Okay.
Great guy.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, not when he's pitching like that against us, Cody.
He's a good dude. He's from Decatur, Texas, just a little country boy.
Right. He looks like a country boy.
Yeah, and he's a gamer, man. He's a bulldog up there. Mm. Nothing phases him, obviously. He knows how to pitch. I texted him when we got rained out, and he was trying to figure out what's the deal. Are they going to cancel the game or whatever? And I was like, yeah, I think they're about to bang it. And then I texted him. I was like, are you pitching tomorrow? And he goes, yeah. I go, all right, I'll see you out there.
All right.
And, whatever. And
did you give the book to your guys saying here's what he does?
Yeah, I just in college he had a cutter, which he doesn't really have here now. I just told him he's going to throw his sinker and change up and just try and get you to roll over to second, which he made me do a couple times.
Right.
He texted me after the game. I think in one of my at-bats, he hung me a slider, and I fouled it off and had a great swing on it. And he texted me, and he goes, I wanted you to look back at me after you just missed that slider. It looked like you were going to hit it to the moon. Is what he said. I was like, yeah, I know. He's a good dude. I'm happy he's succeeding in the big leagues, and he's solidifying himself as a really good pitcher. So it's pretty cool to see.
All right. Last question that you got before we get to the quiz is also your walk-up song. How did you pick Top Drops by Fat Pat?
It's from Fat Pat's a Houston rapper. I'm from Houston. I picked that. It just sounds good. and one of my buddies that I play with, Robbie Grossman, he had it in Detroit, and I was like, you know what? It was a good walk-up. I'm going to take it from him.
All right. And I got to tell you too, tomorrow, we're recording this on Friday. Saturday, we have a rapper who's from Philadelphia area, who's also has a comedy TV show. Have you ever heard of Little Dicky?
Yeah.
He's throwing out the first pitch tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yep. So
you got to get Marsh to catch it because he loves him.
Is that right?
Is that right?
Yeah.
I asked Kevin Gregg to find out if any of the players would know who he is.
I'm going to tell Marsh that today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know what?
I'll
bring him into the clubhouse tomorrow because tomorrow's a 4 o'clock game and you probably won't take BP on a day game. So I'll bring him to the clubhouse.
Okay.
So
cool.
If you can do me a favor, just let whoever you think would want to know that I'll be bringing Little Dicky into the clubhouse.
Perfect.
So.
I'll tell him.
Yeah. Tom, did you know who Little Dick is?
I did not. Right. I did not. But it doesn't surprise me. Marsh knows.
Yeah.
Yeah. Marsh knows.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, so now it's time. Are we ready for the quiz?
Yeah, let's play our theme song. Here it is, John.
Thanks for the visit. Let's get down to business. Now here's your chance to show how much you really know. He might get grumpy if he can't stump you with Brazier's Quiz.
You love that theme song, Cody? Isn't that the greatest? That's from our boy, Skip Denenberg. Thanks, Skip.
All right. Now we're on to the quiz here. Cody, I'm putting on my old man glasses, but the incentive right here, this is, you can't get this anywhere. You can't buy this in any store, but it is a backstage with Burgoyne and Brazier. I don't know why I got second billing. I got to talk to my agent about that.
Come on.
I'm kidding. But here's your shirt. If you get 6 out of 8, it's questions about your life. It's multiple choice. Are you ready?
Yep, let's do it.
All right. You went to Memorial High School in Houston, right? Houston area. Mm-hmm. Which one of these celebrities did not go to Memorial High? So I'm going to mention 4 celebrities. 3 went to Memorial, 1 did not. You got to tell me which one did not. All right. Michael Dell, who's founder and CEO of Dell Inc. Corey Morrow, who's a country singer and songwriter. Jelly Roll, a country hip hop artist. Or Doug Dawson, former offensive lineman in the NFL.
All right. Well, I know 2 that went to Memorial. It was Michael Dell and Doug Dawson.
So it's either Corey Morrow did not go or Jelly Roll did not go.
Who's Jelly Roll? Jelly Roll?
Jelly Roll's correct. I'm going to give that to you. Jelly Roll did not go.
Who is Jelly Roll?
I don't know. I just want to say Jelly Roll. All right. Question number two. You also, obviously, we talked about it. You went to the University of Texas. Which of these celebrities did not go to Texas?
Here we go.
Okay.
Probably a lot of celebrities went to Texas.
Tons of Texas.
Yeah.
Singer Janis Joplin, actress Renee Zellweger, actor Owen Wilson, and rapper, comedian, actor Lil Dicky. So is it Janis Joplin, Renee Zellweger, Owen Wilson, or Lil Dicky? I'm throwing that in there. As
Lil Dicky did not go to Texas.
He did not go to University of Texas.
Janis Joplin went to college?
Owen Wilson went to Texas.
Owen Wilson went there, yep. And Renee Zellweger came here when she was dating Bradley Cooper, and it was right after a hangover, and also with Zach Galifianakis. They came in, and I was going to basically bring them around.
Yeah.
I'm usually the one that brings the celebrities in. And I was totally thrown off by Renee Zellweger. I was picturing... what's that English show that when she was Bridget Jones,
something like that. Yeah.
So I'm thinking like I guess, and she was a little more heavy set, I guess, than that. And she had longer hair, she's got short hair. She's skinny and
real
thin, and she has a Texas accent. I'm thinking it's like, I don't know, Zach Galifianakis' girlfriend.
Yeah,
and I'm like, wait a minute, that's Renee Zellweger.
That was cool. I remember, and we had Bradley hitting balls in a cage that day. That was cool.
And she was great. Love Renee Zellweger. Big fan.
They're all good.
All right, you are two for two. All right. This is a little more baseball now. You were drafted in 2018 by the Detroit Tigers, and your first team was the West Michigan Whitecaps, right? Managed by Lance Parrish.
Yep. Is that right?
Yes, managed by Lance Parrish. Which one of these guys was not a teammate? Okay, which one of these guys is not a teammate on that team?
Okay.
Paul David Hewson, Ulrich Bojarski, Jordan Zimmerman, Tarek Skubal. Paul David Hewson, yep. you know who that is in real life?
Paul David Hewson.
Yeah, it's Bono.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's his real name.
How about that?
Yeah, it's Bono.
I learned something new every day.
And you didn't know that, Paul David Hewson?
I didn't know that.
That is it. All right,
I'm telling you, Cody, you learn a lot.
Yeah,
three for three. All right, how many pitches have you thrown in your Major League Baseball career?
Oh, my gosh.
How many pitches, number of pitches? Is it 85, 129, 143, or 95?
Ooh.
So it's 85, 129, 143, 95.
Is it 95 or is it 85? It's not 100. There's no way I've thrown
it. It's 129.
Oh, my God.
If I have my stats correct, I'm sure Scott Brandeth, our editorial.
I should have known that.
You don't have a one-loss record, do you?
I don't. No.
Probably not.
No.
Right?
Yeah,
that's a lot of pitches right
there.
I've got what? I think I have close to 9 innings or maybe 8 innings.
All right. All right, I'm going to give you a lifeline. Tom will be your lifeline for this one if you need it. If you need it, okay? You have three brothers, right?
Yeah.
Kobe, Corey, and Casey.
Yep.
All starting with a K. That's your name. How many states of the United States start with the letter K? Is it 1, 2, 3, or 4? And you can get a lifeline if you want it, or you can just...
Kentucky.
Right.
Lifeline.
You want a lifeline, Tom? Can you help him out? 1, 2, 3, or 4?
And Kansas.
Kansas, yeah.
Kansas and Kentucky? I think I'd go with 2.
2?
Two is correct.
Let's Bang!
Go. Oh, good use of your lifeline, Cody.
There we go.
All right. What Philly is the team leader in RBIs with 45? What Philly is the team leader in RBIs with 45? Is it Kyle Schwarber, JT Realmuto, Alec Bohm, or Nick Castellanos? I'm going to give you a little, not really a hint, but I was a little surprised by this because I wouldn't have guessed this.
Yeah, there's an obvious answer potentially there, but
I know Kyle has over 40, but I know
Bomer was out for a little bit.
Yeah, Bohm was out, and Castellanos has been in the three hole for a while, so he might have it. I'm gonna go with Casty.
It's Bohm, believe it or not.
Huh.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It surprised me.
Wow.
All right. Huh. You recently played.
Cody needs to get these two right
what
if
do
he
I
wants
got
a
left?
T-shirt.
How many do I have left?
Two more. They're pretty hard, but we'll
I
get you along here.
I got lifeline.
You got a You recently played MLB The Show, right?
Yeah.
With an auction winner to benefit Phillies charities, and I know that you play it a lot, right? Do you know who was on the first cover in on June 30th, 1997? Was it Bernie Williams, Cal Ripken Jr., Mo Vaughn, or Chipper Jones?
Oh, my goodness.
First one, 1997.
I mean, that's so hard.
That's totally hard.
I was born in 96.
I'll give you a hint. I'll give you a hint. This guy was also a very good musician.
Oh.
You can use him as a lifeline.
I got that one.
Lifeline.
Bernie Williams.
Bernie Williams, wow. Right? Yeah. Was it jazz guitarist?
Yeah, guitar player. Yeah.
I've
seen him a few times play, actually.
Yeah.
That's the All-Star awesome. Game.
Cool. All right, so now you only have to get one, and this is about your dad.
All right.
Okay? Do you know how many career strikeouts your dad had in his career? Okay? Was it 4,253? Was it 5,013? Was it 4,801 or 4,672?
That's it.
He got it. He got it.
Strong.
And he wins a t-shirt.
Nice.
Go. Crowd's going nuts.
Crowd is going nuts. Congrats. How many strikeouts was that? 4,000?
672.
And you knew that, ooh, right?
Yep, I knew that.
Yeah. It's funny. You probably know your dad's stats better than your own stats.
I know, honestly.
Right? Because nobody ever knows their own stats. You ever ask like people that, they're like, how many? And people are like, I don't know. Like, you'd think like you'd know your stats, but I guess.
Well, you only have 4,600 and how many to go?
I have one, or no, I got another strikeout.
Two strikeouts?
I have two strikeouts as a pitcher.
Wait, you and your dad are the all-time father-son strikeout leaders.
Yep, we are.
Right?
That's awesome.
We are. Right?
We are.
It's true.
That's great. Yeah, that is great.
I saw someone tweeted out, we have the same amount of appearances versus the Dodgers or something like
really?
That, which is probably not good for us, right? Because I've thrown, three times versus
right,
them.
Yeah,
other than that.
How about it? Well, Cody, really appreciate you joining us. I know you're getting ready for the game. Let's beat the Mets this weekend.
Let's go.
And, John,
we need
you good?
This rain to go away.
Yeah, we need the rain to go away. I think it's going to. We're going to be good.
All right. Thanks, Cody. Really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We'll see you next time on Phillies Backstage.